Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
This is a conversation that we need to have for sure. Last week I was interviewing Professor Adrian Puren from, he's the CEO of the NRCD, and he just mentioned something in the interview about, you know, how we test the COVID. If the population isn't getting tested, as many people in South Africa aren't at the moment, how does the government know what the infection rates of COVID are? And what he said to me is that the body excretes the virus. It goes in the form in your feces and in your urine. So if the government tests the water, they can establish what the infection rates are in the population that way. Even if, and it's not only South Africa that does it, it's the governments around the world that do it. Which, knowing how things are breaking and how our infrastructure is failing in South Africa, it didn't just open a can of worms. It raised so many alarm bells within myself, and I thought, we need to get this information. So I asked Senna to get hold of Professor Turton. Welcome, Professor Anthony Turton, Professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. How are you?
Good morning to you and the listeners. Thanks for having me back on the program.
Are you drinking tap water these days?
I was very strong 42 down in KZN. We can take anything that comes our way.
Yeah, listen, you've got to put up with a number of snakes as well. can you just give me a better idea of what South Africa's processes are of just generally cleaning our water, and where are we on that scale? You know, one being bad and 10 being good. How clean is South African water? And how safe is it to drink?
I always have the expression, facts are our friends, so let's get back to the basic facts. So the first basic fact is that in South Africa, all wastewater, in other words, all sewage, ends up in a wastewater treatment plant and is discharged back into the nearest river, where it flows downstream and becomes the feedstock for the next town for their drinking water. So all of our water is basically circulated from wastewater treatment plants through rivers back into our water purification plants. Now, the government uses what's known as a blue and green drop reporting system to monitor the compliance standards. All wastewater discharge back into the river has to comply with certain safety standards, and all potable water that's produced has to comply with a standard known as SANS 241. So there has to be ongoing reporting on those compliance standards. Okay, recently government abandoned the blue and green drop reporting, and under the current minister, Senzo Mchumu, he decided to reinstate the reporting program. And just last week, they published their findings that 97% of our wastewater works on non-compliant. So we only have 3% of our wastewater works that are compliant with the standard. Therefore, they are discharging vast quantities of untreated sewage into our rivers. And in fact, it makes government the biggest single source of pollution of water in South Africa, bigger than any industry is at all. But having said that, there's a lot of nuance in that, because I can hear from the way that that you posed the initial lead to this conversation that people are concerned about virus in the water.
Absolutely.
So we can talk about that if you want.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about that. How would they be cleaning, you know, getting coronavirus out of our water or COVID out of our water?
Yes. So sewage has got all kinds of pathogens in it, bacteria, you know, viruses, fungi, you know, you name it. It's all in wastewater. The thing about the RNA, the COVID-19 virus, is that it's an RNA virus, and it is incapable, it's not even a living thing actually, just a piece of genetic code, and it's unable to survive, if that's the right word, outside of the living host. So, yes, we do find viral particles in the wastewater, and in fact, I led a team that did the first commercial application of wastewater surveillance in South Africa, and I'm still part of that team that's doing a very advanced wastewater surveillance for some mining operations where we are capable of picking up very, very minute changes to the viral pattern within a defined area. And I'm also party to an international consortium that is busy developing a sensor that you put in the wastewater stream that are capable of detecting the presence of virus.
Okay.
But having said that, it doesn't mean that it's not the same thing as saying that you've got viable virus in the wastewater. At least in the case of COVID. In the case of other pathogens, they might well still be viable. In fact, many of them are. But in the case of COVID, the virus itself is denatured as soon as it passes out of the body, and the body expels fragments of the RNA strand, not the complete RNA strand. So it's not infectious, it's not contagious, as far as we know.
Okay, so it's something that I just want to clarify. When you said that because it's an RNA virus, it can't survive for any amount of time outside of a host. So why are we worrying about sanitizing surfaces, sanitizing our hands and all of that, and touching other surfaces if it doesn't survive outside of the body?
It won't survive let's make it a time-based period. I don't want to get into the whole sort of sanitization debate. That's a toxic debate that I'd rather avoid.
Okay.
But if we accept that the viral particle is at least transmitted through a micro drop of saliva or mucus, then it can survive in that little envelope for a period of time. But in a waste stream, in a wastewater stream, particularly where it's exposed to detergents and stuff like that, remember that your wastewater has got all your soap powders and washing agents that also go down with it, and that breaks down. That's very much like hand sanitizer. It breaks down the fatty envelope around the virus. So it's a fairly well established fact within the scientific community that the virus is not viable in wastewater, although there have been one or two attempts to at least suggest that it might be viable, but that is certainly not supported by mainstream peer-reviewed literature. So we can accept, I think, quite comfortably that the virus is what we detect in the wastewater surveillance process of fragments of the virus, not the actual viable virus. That's the first thing that we need to at least communicate to avoid unnecessary panic. But then, of course, we also need to understand that getting back to our wastewater treatment plants, one of the things that is done in a wastewater process is prior to final discharge of the effluent back into a river, that has to be sterilized typically by means of the addition of chlorine. Chlorine gas simply denatures and destroys all pathogens. And this is one of the problems because there are erratic supplies of chlorine gas in South Africa. In fact, I understand there's only one strategic supplier of chlorine in South Africa. So the distribution of the gas is problematic. And I've certainly been to a couple of wastewater works where the chlorine contact channel is dysfunctional or poorly managed, poorly maintained. So we can accept that there is certainly a discharge of pathogens into the environment. But of all of the pathogens we must be concerned about, I would say that COVID-19 is the least of our concerns, because there are other terrifying ones. I won't even mention their names because if your children listening, they'll be taken off.
Professor Turnton, unfortunately, that is where we have to leave it. But we look forward to catching up with you again, finding out how the study goes and how we are going to fix our infrastructure of our water, which is absolutely critical to human life. That was Professor Anthony Turnton, Professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State.